Welcome to The Lorraine Murphy Show. If you're anything like me, you want a successful, abundant business, epic energy, a growth mindset, vibrant health, and beautiful relationships. And this podcast sets out to help us achieve all of that together. I've been in the entrepreneurship arena for almost a decade now and have mentored hundreds of other business owners. So I know what goes on behind the scenes and what it takes to succeed. This podcast shares the tips, tricks, learnings, and lessons I lean on in order to blend the different facets of my life as an entrepreneur, author, wife, and mama to two gorgeous little humans. Let's jump in to today's episode. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of The Lorraine Murphy Show. This is the very last episode before I share my new thing with you, which will be in next week's episode. I cannot wait. I've spent all day today as I'm recording this intro, getting everything ready, and it's looking and feeling freaking amazing. I cannot wait. Cannot wait to tell you more next week. And it's actually quite a nice warm up for this week's episode. And as I have experienced, it's coming up 10 years in May that I'll be running my own businesses. Business can be a really, really, really lonely place. And that's why I'm so grateful to have people who I can connect with who are also walking the entrepreneurial path. And I'm even more grateful to have women like Julie Masters, who are also moms, who are also focused on their own well-being, and who have a very similar sense of humor and values as I do. I thought it'd be really fun to record a chat with Jules, my friend. That's pretty much like the conversations we have privately. It's the insights we share with each other and the aha moments we give each other as well. If you haven't come across Jules in my world already, she is an incredibly astute entrepreneur. She founded Ode, which is essentially, it was the first talent agency for speakers in Australia. And quite a few years later, I founded the first talent agency for social influencers in Australia. And that's kind of where our similarities began. She's also got two children who are similar ages to our children. Her husband, Josh, is besties with Wade. I'm besties with Jules. And she, as you will learn, she's just incredibly wise. She's a wise soul. And every time we catch up, we just dive straight into the deep stuff. You know, there's very little to no small talk. So you'll find out more about her adventures and her next thing as well in our chat. So in this very, very wide-ranging conversation, we cover how we're adjusting back to in real life events, our codependent households, or what I like to call the village within the village, our similar COVID experiences, the progress that each of us are experiencing as we work on our new things. Jules has also got something very exciting in the pipeline as well. Her recent health treat experience, which I was wildly jealous of, and how I kind of tried to recreate one at home based on her advice. The dangers of falling out of love with our business offerings. This is a really, really important part of our conversation. We didn't plan on talking about this, but it's something I see a lot in the women that I work with in my community, my mentees. And this is a really, really important one. And also why sometimes the only and best thing that we can do is stay curious. So I really want to do this again with more of my business besties. So first up is Jules, and I think you will love her as much as I love her. Enjoy our chat. Welcome to the show, Jules.
So good to be. I've been looking forward to this all day.
Me too. And I think I was sending over the talking points. I was like, hi again. I feel like we're getting lots of quality time at the moment. It's really cool.
Yeah, I think I don't know. I feel like something shifted this year. I feel like been deep in a bunker for the last 2 years, obviously. And then previous to that, you know, Ethan was born, my son, and that was a bunker too. And so I feel like this, I feel like a hermit coming out of a cave at the moment.
I feel the very same.
Sticking my head out and kind of like just for a little bit, and then I'll pop back down again, and then I'll stick a toe out.
I feel the exact same. And I think part of it is that like we are back to doing in-person things again. Like I was telling you, I went to a business chicks breakfast last week, and there was, I think, 1,300 women in the room, and there was men there too, 1,300 people. And that was just like, it was like the last 2 years just collapsed, you know, that they weren't even there. It was weird. Like it felt weird to be back in person like that.
I know. I did a workshop a couple of weeks ago. And it was 20 people. It was a round table workshop, and it was a full day. Now, I hadn't been in a room teaching for, I think, a lot, like, I don't know how long. It's all been virtual.
Well, 2 years at least.
Yeah. I think there was a couple of in person last year when it opened up and then shut back down again. But I hadn't been in a room for the longest time, and to see 20 faces staring at it, and it wasn't just an hour where you're like, okay, come on. And it was a whole day, and I was really nervous. I was thinking, we're in this room together for a whole day. I haven't been in a room with anybody for this long. And it was beautiful because we all came in. It was like a bunch. We all came in kind of like a little bit tentative, and we just sat and acknowledged the fact that, you know, none of us have been in a room together for a really long time.
Yeah.
Let's just let that be. And let's bring what we've got and the awkwardness that we have and hold it, and then just see how the day progresses.
Yeah.
It was strange.
Yeah. Well, I was saying to, I don't know if I said it to you or someone else, I actually felt really like socially awkward, like, you know, sitting at a table with a woman that I didn't know next to me. I was like, I can't remember how to do small talk. Like, I just couldn't remember. I'm like, what do you do again? Like, I feel like I probably seemed like the biggest bitch ever at that table, because I was like, I just can't remember how to do it all.
I went to the hairdressers yesterday and I was the same. Yeah. I was the same. Because usually a very good friend of mine does my hair and I just do my emails. We don't talk. We're good friends. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But she's had COVID and her son's had COVID. And she said, look, I'm really sorry. I need to cancel again, and I've got to present next week. And I said, I've really got to get my hair done. And so I ran up the street, made an appointment, and sat down. And there's this mid-20s girl doing my hair, chatting away. And I'm sat there with my laptop thinking, this is not how this works. I can't talk for 2 hours to someone I don't know. I'm just going to do my email.
It's just exhausting. Did you go to the place on the corner near us?
No, I need to know where you go, actually. I need to know where you go because – yeah, I went somewhere and felt totally uncool.
Yeah. For being there. I go on the corner for blow dries, and I go for color over like, yeah, two suburbs away. Anyway, this is why I was keen to get you on, because I just love chatting to you. As I've mentioned to you, and also anyone kind of listening to this episode will know from the show notes, I wanted to start a new, I'm calling it a segment. I don't know if you can call it a segment, but an episode structure where I get business besties on, because I think, and I know from 10 years of having my own business, it can be a really, really lonely place. And something that I am so grateful for in my life is having, you know, not a massive band, but just a handful of friends who are walking the same path as me. So they're building businesses. Some of them have kids, not all of them. Like, you and I obviously both have kids of similar ages. And it's just so nice to, how I want to articulate this, is just let the superwoman cape drop a bit and just say, okay, where are you at? Where am I at? And it's so soul filling, you know? So I just thought it'd be really, really nice to get some of these business besties on board and onto the show just to chat, because I think it's really nice sometimes just to hear two people chatting. I remember Gwyneth Paltrow interviewing Chrissy Teigen for her podcast, for the Goop podcast. And it was one of the best episodes I've ever listened to, just to hear two other women chatting. There's something very comforting or reassuring, or like you feel like you're part of that conversation. So that's the why I'm getting you on today, my dear.
It feels like over a coffee, you know.
Yeah,
you
and I, that's it.
You and I sit down over a coffee, and you always say this. It was one of the things I appreciate about you. You always say this really well. Like, business is about more than business.
Yes.
And any times where I've forgotten that, where the cape is on, and you know, I feel like there is business, and then there is life, and
yes,
that's when I fall in a heap.
Yeah.
Because that separation of mind, body, spirit, mojo, relationships just become so jarring and exhausting to hold all those different buckets.
So true. So and true.
So to sit with people who know and appreciate and love you, and you love, who can just go, do you know what? The fact whether my child is sleeping right now is a direct indicator as to how my business is doing.
Yeah.
You know what? The conversations my partner and I are having about money and investments and finances right now is a direct indicator as to what I'm going to do next in my business.
So true. I cannot tell you, Jules, the amount of women who, because, you know, I do one-on-one mentoring, and it's just such a privilege to be in it, but I cannot tell you the amount of women who we get on our monthly call and I'm like, hey, okay, what does success look like? Where are you at? Like, just give me kind of, I call it a temperature check. Give me a temperature check. And they're like, I'm very hormonal. Because that's the thing, you know, it would never occur to, you know, your husband, Josh, or my husband, Wade, to think about our hormones and how it's relating to how we're feeling about our workday. But that's the reality of being women. You know, we've got this intricate dance of our hormones every month. And I've actually joked with a few mentees, because some of them, because like it's timed every 4 weeks, if I'm working with them like over a few months, I've actually joked that we need to change the timing of our session because it tends to be like, you know, 3 days before their period. And I'm like, I don't need you like this every month.
And it's funny. And I've always shied very far away from that conversation. I think it always felt to me a little bit too close to conversations that preclude women from things. You know, we can't have a female president in case she gets hormonal and presses the button. You know, it felt a little bit too close to damaging conversations that keep women out of the game.
Yeah.
And
that's true, my dear. I never thought of that.
With time and age and at a period of my life now where hormones are more apparent, you know, with IVF and babies and at this stage of my life, my hormones are apparent. It is apparent to me that there is a cycle here. It's not a cycle that should preclude me from anything, but there's a cycle of awareness here now. And I'm finding the conversation as it is held by women really interesting. And I've stopped avoiding it, and I'm actually quite curious about it now. I still don't know, and this is my field, right? This is what I study, how we drive conversations that have impact and create the world that we want to create. I'm not sure how to take that conversation externally into the wider world without it becoming ammo in a way. There will be and must be a way.
Yeah.
But I'm starting to really appreciate, notice, and become curious of this, my own cyclical nature.
Yeah. There's a whole, you and I, I don't think, haven't talked about it, but I had Alana, who's one of my community, she's a kinesiologist, and there's a whole school of thought around there's certain exercise that we should do, there's certain food that we should eat, there's certain social obligations that we should have on each of the weeks of our cycle, the four key weeks of our cycle. It's really, really interesting.
I heard actually Denise Duffield-Thomas, I was reading something of hers yesterday, and she was saying that there are two days of the month in her cycle where she feels creative, and those are the 2 days where she does all of her content.
Yeah, but
there's only 2 days. She's like, it's 2 days, that is it. I'm out after that.
So you want to make sure you don't have any kiddie sick curveballs or any of those things on those 2 days, or else you have no content for the month ahead.
Yeah, I think she probably has way more family support than you are.
Probably, yeah, the whole full-time housekeeper. She's amazing. And so I guess how we want to approach this is it's like to have a chat. So what I actually did was I did like a mental list of all like the favorite things that you and I have chatted about over the last few weeks. And I thought we could use those as like talking points to chat. And something I love is the you call it the incest of our households, both our households. I call it the codependency. We're very codependent as households.
It probably needs more explanation to call it by calling it incest, doesn't it?
Please do. How would you explain the incestual nature of our households?
I think it's a beautiful thing.
It is.
It's a beautiful thing because I feel like between our two households, we have so many skills, some of them random, some of them very useful. Some of, you know, my husband is a buyer's agent. He's an expert on property and buying investment properties. He's been doing it for 10 years. And
just helped us buy our property.
Your husband is an expert in coming up with very weird exercise regimes.
Yeah.
Which he gives to Josh. Oh, I am an expert at finding good people. I'm very good at finding good people, as are you. And I feel like, you know, we gave our nanny to you when
you
we
did.
No longer
She's
needed
still with
you.
Us.
She obviously had to consent to that. Yeah. We've personal trainers, people that we've worked with.
Yeah. Office spaces, everything.
Books, ideas, dropping kids off at each other's house when we need it. To the point, and, you know, to take this into the realms of a bestie talk, you know, to the point of, you know what, Josh and I had a fight this week and we've still not had a chance to really resolve it in the way that I would like to see it resolved. Can I drop my child at your house for an hour while we walk and talk? And get this done.
Yeah.
To have that kind of tribal incestuous space, but still have a lot of, you know, you and I can sometimes go a month and have done a month or two without seeing each other.
Even more, I would say. I think particularly when each of us are in our bunkers. And I think that's what I'm loving about your and my relationship right now is I feel like we've systemized it, you know, to take a business approach because every Friday, when I was like, okay, need to get fit again, need to get strong again, post Wilder, and I asked you for your PT's details, and now it's turned out. So I train with her twice a week. I was training Tuesdays and Fridays. Then you were like, can I join your Friday? So we're doing Friday together, and then we go for breakfast afterwards. And now you've gatecrashed my Tuesday as well.
I have.
I have. Like, is this okay?
I don't know why. I've been training with her for a year. She gave you all the best spots. So I'm totally gatecrashed.
You got a gatecrash. But I love it because in my mind, like it ticks so many boxes. It's like I'm exercising, like I'm training. And I feel like we both said this. Nikki works us so much harder together than she does individually. Also, it's like fresh air. It's obviously movement. And it's getting time with you. And our husbands have trained together for, do you reckon it's 4 years? It must be at least 3 years they've trained together every morning. Every weekday morning they train.
Three years, I think, 5 days a week, 6 days a week.
And I'm like, why did it take me 3 years to get on this?
I can answer that question. There was babies.
Babies, yeah. Bloody babies.
And and periods of time where training was not high on the agenda.
Yeah, so true. But I'm loving it. Like, it's so good to have that time together. And Wade's actually reading a book at the moment. Actually, Leela, one of our friends, recommended it. It's called Sex at Dawn. And it's all, have you read it?
No.
Oh, I feel like I'm getting like daily like snippets from him on it. It's I'm probably going to do this a disservice, but it's basically talking about relationships and communities back in like tribal times and how they were set up. And I've been saying this for years to Wade about the village, like how we need a village, like particularly for people like you and I, like we don't have family around, like the friends have to become the family, and how isolating that is, because essentially our partners have to become our entire village, like they have to be everyone, and that's not fair. You know, A, it's not fair, and B, it's not realistic for them to do that. And Wade's reading this book, and I feel like for the first time the idea of the village has dropped in for him. He's gone, ah, I'm getting it, like I'm seeing it. And as I was getting ready for our chat today, I was thinking, you know, I joke about it that we're so codependent, and that kind of suggests it's unhealthy, but it's almost like I feel like what we have as our two households, it's the village within the village, you know. And as an example, and you know, the surprising support. So you were away the week that I was week two of COVID. And as you also experienced, you know, absolute exhaustion, I was very depressed. Like it was a shit week. And Josh, bless him, who I feel is quite, like you always describe as like an engineer brain. You know, he's quite factual. He's quite introverted. But he's funny. You know, I remember one day Wade and I were not getting on, and we went for a coffee to kind of sort things out. And Josh rocks up. So, of course, Wade's like the bromance is, you know, having the best chat ever. And they went in to get the coffees, and Josh came out, and he just gave me a little squeeze on the shoulder and walked off. It was like he acknowledges he could see what was going on, if that makes sense. But he didn't feel like he had to say lots. He just did something and moved on. It was really, really sweet. But he came and like helped us sort out our house post-COVID, because we packed all our stuff up to get the floor sanded. It was an absolute mess. He dropped over food. He came back. He saw me, took one look at me, and came back with a lasagna from your freezer, a dinner lady's lasagna. And then he came back again 3 days later. I think you said to him, can you drop more food off? I think they need more food. And he was like, I've already done it.
Yeah, I called him. I think you and I had talked. I had seen your social post, as sometimes happens. I see your social posts before I had a chance to talk to you. And I think I'd been out of radio range for a few days. Turned on my phone at an event, and I saw your post was the first one that came up. I didn't scroll any further. I just walked out of the conference room, found a chair, and called you. And I was like, what is going on? Because you don't look good.
Thank you.
And I got off that phone call with you, where it was clear that you were having a hard time. And I got off the call. I phoned Josh before I went back into the room again, and I said, can you drop some food off with Wade and Lorraine? And he was like, I've already done it. And I was like, well, can you drop some more off?
More. Keep going.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, sure, I'll drop some more off. Yeah. But he's very good. He doesn't say an awful lot, but he has always been, he's a good rock. He's a very good rock. Like I remember in my first business, I had just lost like this multi-million dollar deal, and it had happened in a horrible way, as in I found out when it became public as opposed to beforehand. And I remember leaving the office. I said to the team, I just need to take a couple of hours. And I went to where he was based at the time, which was in Piedmont, his office. And I walked into his office, and he had an interior design company at that point, and he had paints and like canvases around, because he would like do ideas. And I walked in.
Do ideas. I love it.
Do idea, whatever they do. I don't know. I'm not an interior designer. I don't know what they do. And I walked in and it will always be one of the moments I remember most of our relationship. He asked what had happened. I told him. And rather than sit down with me and go, you know, tell me everything and give me advice and do all the things that you and I would do, he was like, there's a canvas. There's some paints. Just go hard. Just get it out. And I sat on the floor of his office in my work gear and painted a canvas badly painted a canvas. But just that was enough. It was enough. He just held space, gave me a canvas.
Yeah. That's what he does. He holds the space. Yeah.
Very good at holding the space. Yeah. But I think to speak to your point of the village, I think that men probably need a village. Well, I know they do need a village as much in different ways. In different ways than we do. But
tell me how.
Well, how do they need it? I'm just formulating this thought as I'm talking. If I look at Josh, you know, he won't ever ask for help. He's never going to ask for help. And I think that is when they need the village. They need close enough relationships with their partners and their friends and family if they're nearby for somebody to be able to pick it. Because if I look at him and any of his friends when they've had sometimes significantly serious down patches, it's always been up to the friends to pick it. The phone call never comes. You and I will do the phone call.
So true. We'll
do the
so bloody true. Yeah.
You know, that phone call where someone's just too quiet at the beginnings and you can tell like they're about to start sobbing.
Yeah.
And it's just this kind of strange, eerie quiet.
And you're just waiting to ask them the question that's going to unlock the tears.
Yeah. You know, we don't make the phone call usually. We make the phone call usually. Or we reach out. Whereas I find for Josh, it's up to his friends to pick it. And I always feel very grateful when a friend says, hey, mate, you know, you don't seem okay. Do you want to go for a drink? Or you don't seem okay. Do you fancy a coffee? Or just a quick phone call just to check in on you. How you doing?
I'm just laughing because I feel like Wade's version of that, because they train together. Wade would just be like, just do more push-ups.
So
just train harder.
Well, Josh has asked Wade sometimes. He comes back from the gym and I say, how's Wade? And he's like, I don't know. I asked him and then he just grunted at me.
Like an hour together. But isn't that it? You know, it's just that having another man next to them, it's that reassurance, I guess, and to feel just that, yeah, I guess not that, I mean, we're talking about this as if we're men. We should probably get the boys to talk about this at some stage.
But I think it would be really interesting for them.
It would be interesting, yeah.
I've certainly bumped into Wade on the street before. And looked at him and thought, you don't seem 100. And there's been two or three times since we've known you guys, it's 5 years, where I've thought, should I invite him out for a coffee? Like, I feel like maybe he, and I don't know if there are any guys in his life that would ask. And I haven't any of those times. I don't know why. It feels like I probably should have done.
Yeah, I think you'd appreciate it. I actually think the dynamic that Wade seems to have in his friendships, and I feel bad talking about him, he's not here, but a lot of his friends come to him for advice. Like they see him as the one who's got the solutions. And I think it's also army mentality, you know, it's just soldier on, just keep going. And you know, that's a challenge that we have in our relationship, because he almost sometimes sees me as the soldier, you know, soldier on. And week two of COVID, we were buying the investment property. There was so much paperwork to do. Lexi was just like climbing the walls after being cooped up with us in ISO for 11 days. There was a lot going on. And then I just fell. Like I had that week two fatigue, depression. And it was actually really hard, because what I wanted Wade to do was like to nurture me. You and I talked about this a lot. You know, how we do so much nurturing as women in our lives. We need someone to nurture us. And it's not always necessarily going to come from our partner. And interestingly, I feel it came from Josh that week for me, from a masculine sense. And then our friend Sean is a lawyer, so he was witnessing all of our documents. And I was just in tears because I was so, it's the same day I spoke to you. And he just gave me the biggest hug. And it just, that's the village, you know, that our partner isn't always going to be able to fulfill every need. Wade thought he was fulfilling my needs by just getting the paperwork out of my hair and getting Lexi out of my hair. So yeah, it's that lovely thing of that tribal living, you know, where other people can step up when maybe our partners aren't able to or are focusing on other needs of ours.
And also you touched on something just then, which I think is having both genders in your life. You know, yes. I spoke to you the other day when we went out for breakfast, and I was saying, oh, my friend Chris came over last night. Now he's 40 something, single, known him for 20 years. And he came over, curled up on the sofa. We were going to get Uber Eats. And I just had a moment, you know, Josh was going out with, I don't know if it was with Wade, I think it was with the guys. Josh was going out. Josh said, you know, how you doing? And then he said, all right, mate, I'm out. Probably gave him a high five, and then he walked out the door, and I just had this moment of that would never have happened in my parents' life.
Mm.
That my dad would have, well, that my mum would have had a male friend for a start, and that would have come over, especially single, to hang out for the evening while my dad wasn't there.
Mm. And the children sleep upstairs.
And the children asleep upstairs. And it's one of the beautiful things I think of this generation where it is more than acceptable and more than normal to have both genders in your life. And it's something that I prize particularly because I enjoy. Mm. I enjoy both genders. And there are some times where I need parts of the masculine that Josh can't give me. Mm. Or he's not able to in that moment. Or our dynamic prevents it because we're in a mode right now where it's hard
that
to
makes
do
sense.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
So I really love having both genders in my life. So the fact that Sean could give that to you and Josh could give that to you at a period of time where Wade couldn't, because he was probably just like, the best I can do in this moment is the paperwork and get the kids out of your face.
Mm.
You know, the fact that there are other men in the tribe that can give you that and it not be looked on as strange at all is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, that's so true. I'm just laughing because Sean met me in the car. He was having coffee with Leela, his wife and our friend, our partner and our friend. And I'm just thinking Leela could see her husband hugging me in the car. And then he got out of the car and she got in and hugged me. It was yeah, you're so true, isn't it? You just kind of live through these experiences and go, actually, yeah, 30 years ago, that would have been really weird.
That would have been. I've got Josh's mum staying with us at the moment. And you know, I think even she just gets a bit shell-shocked. She's like, where's Josh tonight? I'm like, oh, he's out with his friend. He's out with his friend Lorraine, or he's out with his friend.
Yeah.
And she's like, who's that? I'm like, I don't know. Someone he knows. I'm not sure. She was at the wedding.
She was at the wedding. That's it.
No.
So good.
But just very different generations.
Yeah, so true. Can I talk to you about the emotional backpack idea? Because yeah. I actually mentioned it in my last podcast episode. Sorry, two episodes ago. I called it a soul soothing episode because, as we're both aware, there's a lot going on in the world and in Australia right now. And I called it my magazine episode. So I just talked about beauty and I talked about food, and it was really, really fun. And I got so many messages from my audience saying that that's exactly what I needed. Thank you. Like, I just needed my soul. I just needed to, you know, not to have to learn anything or do anything or achieve, and just listen to each other.
You are just so good at that. I would be like, I'm not saying a word unless I have something valuable
to
say. Unless it is useful, I shall not say it. And I love it.
I love doing it.
You have with your community where you're like, you know what? I need this. You probably need this too. Let's chat cream.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels good. You know, when you hit it, you're like, yeah, that's something. It's almost like an intuitive thing where you feel like people need something and then you give it, and it's, yeah, you're validated. You're not validated. That's not the word, but it's what people needed. It feels really, really good. But I talked about you and I didn't actually mention you by name. I just said I was talking to a friend. Because I was saying, as I was recording that, I was kind of 2 weeks out of week two of COVID. I was, as you know, and I actually talked about this on the podcast episode as well, where you rang me that day and you had said to me like 2 weekends beforehand, look, I'm not good. Like, I'm exhausted. Like, I'm 10 days post COVID. I'm still exhausted. Like, what the hell's going on? And you rang me and you said, look, I just saw your message. I saw your post. I want to see if you're okay. And I just burst into tears. And I was like, all I could say to you is, I'm so sorry. I just didn't realize how bad you must have felt. You know, it's almost like until I experienced it myself that I went, because, you know, you said you were tired. It's like, well, she's probably a bit tired. You know, that sounds tough. But that, like, bone tired, fatigue, can't get out of bed. Like, holy fuck. It was crazy. And something you said to me, because you had just come back, as you rang me, you had just come back from like 5 days at a health retreat. Can you just talk about what happened to you post-COVID and the kind of the crunch point?
God, there's so much in
Mama
there.
Mama got tired.
So much in there. So yeah, week two of COVID, I think week two of COVID really, really floored me, as it did you. I was just bone tired. And not only that, there was a few things going on. I was bone tired. I think because I didn't have COVID anymore, I didn't feel any permission at all.
Yeah. And that's the thing is with the 7 day ISO thing, you're like, okay, 7 days are up, check, I should be fine. And I actually got more tired in week two than I was in week one.
I was worse in week two, and I was no longer testing positive. And so I felt horrific. I felt like I had gave myself no permission to feel unwell. Plus the fact that you have just lent on your partner with two very young kids for the past week. So you don't feel like you can keep leaning on them.
You're out of credits almost.
Yeah. Way out of credits.
Yeah.
And also there was just this feeling in me of it's now like we had come back from break. We took an extra long break, but you know, still a break with young kids. So it's still, it's pretty full on.
Yeah.
And then we came back and it was like, right, end of Jan, Feb, go. Mm. And then we got back and everybody just got sick one by one by one, Josh and then me. And I was coming up, I was pushing up against the end of February and I was thinking, I'm not going to start my year until March.
And when you still start your business year, because you've got big plans, which I want to talk to you about in this chat as well. Yeah. And you're just like, yeah, it's almost March and I haven't
been going yet. Yeah. And I think in any other year that would have been hard, but in a year where, as you know, we have talked about it before, there's been a lot of stop starts. And so you start a business, you get some traction. And then for us, it's like, well, you go through IVF. So you're going to pare back a little bit. And then if you're lucky, you fall pregnant. Okay. So you pare back, like you can still go like hard, but you know, you're going hard knowing there's a runway here and you're going to need some time at the end of that. And so then you get newborn and then you know, at some stage you kind of come back in. And I had felt like for the past 3-4 years, it had been stop, start, stop, start, stop, start. I have it. No. Okay. No, we're stopping. Okay. Okay. We're stopping. COVID one. Yeah. No. COVID two. Yeah. And then I felt like I can't, and this was going to be the year, right? Like this was going to be the year that it was just going to be a year I could just run and go. And that's all up to me. That's my responsibility. It's my responsibility to show up for that. It's my responsibility to choose that. But I was coming up to March. I hadn't done anything. The podcast was way behind. I hadn't started anything new. I'd done nothing. And I was looking at March and I was terrified. I was like, not only can I not remember any ideas I even had last year, even if I could remember them, I don't have the energy to do anything about them. I don't have anything left in my tank at all. And I had a bit of a health scare last year as well, which kind of knocked the wind out of me, which is all very unlike me to have so many health issues. And so it culminated, as you know, it culminated in a Sunday afternoon where that was the end of my second week.
So you're eating pancakes?
So Josh is making pancakes.
Making pancakes. Sorry, I thought you were eating them.
No, he gets pancakes. He goes to put pancakes on the table. And I just looked at him and I said, I'm out.
But the kids were screaming. Just add some color here. Kids are screaming. Josh wants to discuss something serious with you.
Ethan was drawing on the rug.
Ethan, he's 2.5. Have I got that right?
Yeah, he's 2.5.
Almost 3. So
he had just found his sister's pens and we had brought a brand new rug and he was drawing all over the rug.
Yeah.
Charlie was crying because Ethan was using her pens. And Josh was trying to talk to me about something fairly significant.
Yeah.
And I just looked at him and I remember he handed me this plate of pancakes and I just said, I'm out. I'm out. And I put the pancakes on the table and I walked out of the door and I could hear, it's awful. I could hear my son crying about where mama was going as I put on my shoes and I kept walking. I kept walking and I shut the door. Now I went to the park for 15 minutes. I caught my breath. I came back. So
wait till me this story first. Okay. Cause he had heard it from Josh and Wade made it sound like you left for the day. And I was like, oh, I wonder what she did. I hope she had a really nice day. And it was only when you told me the story, it's like, you only left for 15 minutes.
I only left for 15 minutes, but it led to, so it came back and Josh was like, well, what are we going to do about you? Basically. And I said, I need some time. I need to reset. I need to reset my year. I need to reset my energy. I need to reset my mindset, my mental state. I just need a reset. And so we talked, and it felt like I had gone past the point of just being able to go to a hotel for a few days. I was like, no, I don't want to even, like, I want to think about food. I just want to be by myself. And so I booked this health retreat, very lucky, got to book a health retreat for 5 days. Hadn't been on a health retreat in over a decade.
That long? I didn't know. Wow.
Yeah, a long time. And because when I go away, I always try and be back, right? You're a young family, you try and be back. Or at least you try and stay somewhere close. So if something goes wrong, you can be close.
Yeah. And again, it's the credits piece. You know, you don't want to go away for too long because you feel like those credits, night away credits should be used towards
something fun. Like,
yeah, or time with your family, you know, or
Yep. So I went away for 5 days, and for the first kind of 48 hours, I spoke to no one. I spoke to no one. I said nothing. I sat at the quiet table, and it was so funny. I was telling you, I sat at this quiet table.
Can you tell a story about the drumming?
Yeah.
Love that story.
This lady. So I walk in. I've somehow managed to talk my way into a retreat 2 days into the retreat, which isn't normally allowed. So I don't know how I did that.
Well, you know, tell us how you did it. That was so smart.
Well,
I just had to keep talking.
Know. So, yeah, I had called all these health retreats, and they were like, no, we kick off on this day. You have to be on this day or you can't come because it's a cohort. Yeah. We run them through a process. And then I called one that I had been to before that I loved, and she said, same thing. You need to arrive on this day. And I was like, I can't. I've got this 5-day window. I've got to fly straight into an event afterwards. And I just had this feeling where she was like, we really can't do it. There's a reason that we can't do it. It doesn't work. And I just had this thing in my head where I was like, if I let her keep talking, I think she might talk herself into this. So I said nothing. I just shut up. And she was like, you know, it's never a good idea. And, you know, I would have to get permission. And I'm like, it's totally fine.
And didn't she worry about your flight? She's like, I just don't know if you could even fly up.
Yeah, she's
time.
Like, so why don't you just go check your flights and just see if it's even possible? And I'm like, okay, I'm going to check my flights. And then I called back and I was like, I have flights. I'm coming. So I get there and there's this whole group of people who have been together by that point for like 3 or 4 days, and they're all very entwined, and it was perfect.
Because it's quite bonding at a retreat as well. Like if you choose to speak to people, you can bond very quickly as a group.
Yeah, and you're all going through different things. There's the reasons why you're there, right? But it was perfect for me because it meant that I could just fly well and truly under the radar. No one really even noticed me arrive. And in the evenings, you all sit down together, and there's the silent table, the quiet table, and then there's the rest of the place.
So can you just remind me, what's the difference between silent and quiet again?
I think it's a good question. I didn't ask for a clarification. I think
you're silent.
Don't talk to me. And quiet meant, I really want to talk, but I'm happy to say hello. I don't really know. First day I sat on the silent table. Second day I thought I'll sit on the quiet table. There's a lady there who's got her book, and she's doing something that I know well. I'm about to give you a demo. I know no one can see it. We all know this move. When you get your book, you open it, you put it on the table in front of you, which tells everybody that you don't want to talk to them because you're about to read the book.
Yeah.
And so she had done that. And I sat down and she said, look, there's going to be no action at this table. And I was like, brilliant. I don't want any action. You read your book. You do you. I'm going to do me. Anyway, so we were in silence. We kind of just ate in silence. And then they gave us the program for the next day. So at the end of the day, they give you the program for the next day. Gave us the program for the next day. And on the program in the evening, because it's incredible. They have something going on every hour of every day that you can take part in or not take part in, education, exercise. Anyway, on there, it said tomorrow evening would be a drumming circle. And she'd said nothing all meal. And then she just looked at me and she was like, am I allowed to swear on this podcast?
Yeah. Oh God, all the time. Yes.
Fucking drumming circle. A fucking drumming. My life is a fucking drumming circle. I just lost it. I was like, so is mine. Do you have small children?
That's so good.
Oh, I met so many interesting people. So for the first 48 hours, as I said, I just, in the evenings where they all sat around talking and they had talks, I literally, you're not supposed to, the pool's closed after 6 p.m. I would break into the pool and go swimming by myself in the dark. You know, I kept in my own little bubble. And on the end of the second day, when I was just feeling like I'm kind of all right, I'm coming back to myself here. I was up on the hill and they have this mud thing up on the hill where there's a hedge. You're behind the hedge. So you walk up the hill, go behind the hedge, And then you get undressed, cover yourself in mud, and you lie. They've got deck chairs. You lie and in the sun and the
bake
mud,
the mud on dry. You, basically.
Yeah, and it's beautiful and good for your skin and all that kind of stuff. So I'm there. I undress, cover myself in mud.
And didn't you forget your swimmer, so you just had your underwear on?
I just had my underwear, yeah.
Yeah.
Just had my underwear. I'm pretty good at being nude, so I'm like,
yeah.
And so I lie down on the sunbed and the heavens open and it's raining now. So I'm lying there covered in mud. It's raining on me. And this old lady came. Older lady, she had like an umbrella. She walked past. She kind of looked round the hedge at me and she just looked at me and she said, "You're a funny cat." She's like, "You don't say anything to anybody. You don't take part in anything." She's like, "I see you swimming in the middle of the night. And now I come up here and I find you naked, covered in mud in a thunderstorm." She's like, "You're not having a health retreat, are you? You're having a self retreat." And I was like, yep.
Love
yes,
it.
Yes, I so am. So good. That is what I am having.
So good. So you talked about the emotional backpack and I just thought that was such a beautiful analogy. I've actually used it with a couple of mentees who are kind of their emotional backpack. And what you were saying was that your backpack just got very full and you hadn't taken it off and you hadn't emptied it for a very long time. And I think so many of us feel like that, you know, that not internalization, but just squashing it down because there's never a convenient time, it feels, to actually unload that emotional backpack. And when you said that to me, you told me that on the phone when you rang me when I was in my, you know, week two COVID hell. And I said to you, I'm just desperate to do what you did. Like, I'm desperate to go away, do a 5-day retreat, just not have anyone need me, not have to make any decisions for 5 days. And it's just not available to me right now. Like, it's Wilder's, I'm breastfeeding Wilder. You know, he's slept through last night, but he's up most nights during the night for feed. And it's not available. And something I really loved what you said is like, well, just do one thing, like maybe just do one thing a day for the next few days. And I just thought that was such good advice. So that day I had acupuncture. The next day I had kinesiology with Jackie, who I know you also see. And then Saturday I booked 2.5 hours at the bathhouse near us and did like, you know, the whole bathhouse thing and had a massage and had ear candling. And I just wanted to share that for anyone because I know like I was pretty much like drooling when you were telling me about your health retreat and just the season I'm in right now. And Wade's like, "We can make this work. You know, you can travel." I'm like, "But it's just not the same. You know, it's not the same. You need full separation and just to fully, like you did, you know, not talk to anyone for 48 hours if that's what you choose to do."
There's truth to that, you know. There are seasons.
Yeah. Wade gets annoyed when I say that because he's like, you know, in his mind, you know, everything has a solution. We can work around everything. And we can. But one of my mentees was just saying today she had to cut her 2-day planning retreat down to one night. And then she said, like, rather than keep compromising it because they're moving house and her little boy is having challenges at school at the moment and a lot going on, she said, rather than compromise it any further, I'm just going to move it to 2 weeks later. And I think that's how I feel about when I do get away on a retreat later on this year once Wilder's weaned and so on. It will be fine. But I just did want to pass that on to anyone. And, you know, it doesn't need to be super expensive things, but just even having a magnesium, you know, an Epsom salts bath, like just doing something nice for yourself over a sequence of days. That got me back to where I needed to be. Probably would have been even better to do a 5-day health retreat, but that worked for the time being.
I think, well, point number one, you know, when I got there, as you said, I realized two things. One, I realized that my bucket was empty, that my energy bucket was absolutely empty, and my backpack was my emotional backpack was just overflowing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so firstly, don't get there. Like, try your best.
Yeah, that's true. Preventative there. Measures.
Yeah. You don't, like, 5-day health retreat is wonderful. Better still, don't get there. Mm. You know,
can I just go to a 5-day health
retreat and go from a place of abundance as opposed to crawling through the door?
Yeah. Can I ask though, my dear, if you look back at yourself over the last few years, how could you avoid getting there? Have you thought about that?
Good question. I think before kids, I did a lot of self-care, self-awareness.
I would do personal development. You've done
a lot of
so
personal
much.
Development, a lot of cathartic work. Mm. I was very good at, I had become very good at processing things. I had become very good at emptying out. I was good at all of those things. And then, you know, life kicked into a different gear and there were babies and partner and business and
pandemics. Well, pandemics.
And I didn't do a good job of emptying as I went, just emptying as I went. And so without, and that's when I got to the health retreat and they sit you down with this program of all the things, what do you want to do? Massage, like facials. And I said, I was like, I don't want to do anything beauty orientated. I was like, I want to release. I need to let go. I feel like I've hit the end of a chapter here and I'm just dragging around this backpack full of stuff from this chapter, and I just want to let it go. I can't move forward fully and wholeheartedly unless I let go. Mm. And so I did Kahuna, which is like, there's a lot of breath work, which I know is very good for me. A lot of sounding. Yeah. Very good.
So for Kahuna massage, they use like lots of oils and like, it's very slippery and slidey and all of the things.
Yeah. But they also get you to breathe and make sound. Yeah. And for me, sound is the key, making sound, like getting it out. I did a lot of writing, a lot of burning of the writing.
Yes.
I went for walks and I sat down on benches and had conversations with people that weren't there. And I just needed to let go, complete, stop the exhaustion of dragging things around with me. And if I had done that, so to go back to your question, if I had done that more effectively bit by bit, and, you know, I look back with full compassion for myself, it's very hard to do it when there's so many people who really do need you at such a young age, and, you know, business. And if I had done a better job of that, of what I told you, which is just chip away, but do it consciously and deliberately and in a non-negotiable form.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you and I have talked before, there's a reason they call it the mothership. And that is because if it goes down, and I, you know, I grew up in a house.
Everything goes down. Yeah.
I grew up in a house where the mothership went down. And if it goes down, everything goes down. And I know that. And I should have, even in knowing that, should have done a better job to throw things overboard before the ship went down.
So good analogies. I love that. So good. I was going to ask you something there. So yeah, just almost like doing those things as you go, rather than getting to the point where the backpack is full.
And you know, I think what's full, right? Because you're vibrating.
Yeah.
You're vibrating. Like,
and everyone else knows.
Yeah. It's that feeling of one wrong word from anyone.
Yeah.
And I will either cry, shout, snap.
Yeah.
And you know, it's, you can feel it. You can feel it when it's
a full. Weight. Yeah.
Yeah. It's literally an energetic weight.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally get it. And I think what's been really exciting for me, seeing you, because you're back, 3 weeks? I feel like your new thing is dropping in so clearly. So just for context, if anyone's not aware, most of your revenue was as a speaker. You're an incredible speaker. And obviously with COVID, I think you said like within 3 days, your entire year just got cancelled pretty much in 2020.
Yeah, it was, I mean, the majority, so my revenue was kind of half speaking, half consultancy.
Yeah.
And everything cancelled. Now some came back in different forms. But everything, I remember the exact moment. I remember on the plane. I'm sure you remember too. I remember getting on a plane, it being a normal day, and then getting off the plane, turning on my phone, and just seeing like 20, 30 emails. You know, when they all come at once.
Cancel. Yeah, yeah.
And I started this journey of creating, which was something that I knew I had to do anyway, but creating an alternative in my business that meant that I could derive, I could help people at scale, and I could also derive an income that was not dependent on me having to get on a plane and leave my family, because I come from the speaking world, and you know, there are speakers who speak 100+ times a year.
Yeah.
And, you know, you are away 250 days of the year. And that, and I was already, before COVID hit, starting to have this little voice in my head, because I know what this world looks like so well, because I've managed speakers for years.
Yeah, yeah.
I know what this world looks to like. Like, again, I've got no excuses here. I know what success in this world looks like. And hang on a second. Somehow I'm now running in a race where I don't even want the trophy.
Like, can you just pause there? That is so powerful what you just said. And I think for so many women listening, not so many, but some women listening to this, how many of us are running races that we don't even actually want the trophy anymore? Yeah. Wow. That's massive what you just said. Wow.
And but that put me in an unfortunate position where it's like, okay, well, yeah. If I don't want this trophy, if I'm, you know, I'm happy to run fun races in this world. I love speaking. I love events. I love
the people and the ideas.
Yeah. And oh my God, I built a career around it, a lifetime around it. I love it, but I'll do the fun runs, but the marathons, you know, the 24-hour grueling race, I'm not in for that. There are people who are and who are amazing. But that's not what I want to create for my family. And then I went to this place of, okay, well, maybe I scale the consultancy business. But I thought, no, I've got young kids. I don't want to be in startup mode. I don't want to, you know, have
start an agency.
And I've started a business. I've scaled a business. Yeah. I know what it takes. That's not a trophy I want either right now.
Yeah.
And so I was like, damn it. That means I have to create an online program and I know nothing about that world. Yeah. And I'm going to have, you know what I mean? Just like, I'm going to have to go back to be a novice. I've worked too hard to be a novice.
Yeah.
I want to be a novice again. And so that's what I did. It's been a year building, adapting, testing, playing. So I've built this program. It's called the Influencer Code. I've run, I think it's nearly 2,000 people through it in one way, shape or form over the last year. But it hasn't been publicly available.
Yeah.
And so I'm building into making it public.
It will be soon.
Available now.
And so I think that's what I've seen for you, my love, since coming back from the retreat and obviously navigating COVID and all the things. It's like you've got such massive momentum on your new thing. So I think that's the thing, isn't it? We can think, oh, it's selfish or it's not productive to go away and empty the backpack, like you're saying, fill your tank right back up. But I mean, what I have seen in you in terms of momentum over the last 2-3 weeks, it's incredible compared to everything I saw like for months, you know, it's just, it's all coming together for you now. It's really exciting to see.
It's what you build out of fear or from an empty tank tends to be brittle. You know, it just feels brittle.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what you build from a place of fullness, it just has more substance, way more power, way higher vibration to it.
Yeah.
But you're the same. True. Like you've just been blowing my tiny pancake mind. With honestly, I feel like, I mean, we just said before we came on air, I was like, I'm about to, you know, launch this thing. And I feel like I'm like, oh, maybe I'll be able to launch in October because there's so much.
Really? Oh, God.
No, I'm going to launch before then. But I'm looking at everything that has to be done, right? I told you, I was procrastinating organizing. So I have, I have post-it notes on the wall here. You can't see them, but very color-coded of all the things that need to be done. That was me.
Yeah.
After organizing.
Nice.
But I feel like you have just, I don't know, it feels like everything's come together for you right now. All the work that you've been doing, all the ways you've been in service, and it's just flying.
Yeah, it feels like that. And, you know, it hasn't launched. So as we're recording this, I'm, a week out from launching. But yeah, you said something a while ago and I was over in your house and you said you were talking about like the different models. So it was actually pre you going in the retreat. It was right the week before you went, or 2 weeks before you went, I think. And you were saying, like, I've got all these different ideas for your new thing, but you used really strong language. You said, I'm not strong as in bad language, but you said, I don't feel locked in the way that you do with, you know, what I'm creating right now. Like, I feel really locked into this. And I feel like you're locked into what you're doing now. Like, something has locked in. It's like something, the keys just clicked and it's locked in. And what you said there about, you know, building something from love and a full tank, that's what I feel like about what I'm launching next week. Like, it's just, it's solid. You know, when you said brittle, and I've built so many things that felt brittle, particularly, you know, speaking very honestly in myself and Wade have done an episode just talking about the challenges he's had in his business since COVID kicked off for them, because it just pretty much flattened his business when they couldn't send university students overseas anymore. And for the last year, he's been in a strategic role in the army. And that has just changed my business so much. And I still, you know, very much believe in him having his own business. It's something we're both working towards. But just to have someone's salary who's locked in, it's game changing. And when I look back at what I created over the last 4 years in this business, there's definitely some things that I look at and go, I created that. Like you just said, like it's just dropped in for me there as you're saying it, that out of a need to make money or a need to get something out there in case I'm not relevant anymore or whatever it might be. And I don't feel like that with this. I don't feel stressed about this. What am I saying? It's like positive stress. Like I'm excited to get it out there. I want it to be perfect. I want it to be an amazing experience, but I just trust if it's going to fly, it's going to fly, you know? And I guess that's the love, isn't it? And that's the trust piece that you're talking about. It's not brittle.
No, it's there's two things in what you just said. One is the space. As you said, once Wade was able to lock in, suddenly you have some space to come at something with the exact right intention. Like, I want to create something that I am in love with, because if I am in love with it, I'll take it the whole way. I know
I'm
will.
Still in love with it.
And I know you will. Yeah. Like, if I'm in love with something and I have a good enough track record, I will take it the whole way. And I will carry it and share it and lift it and rise with it if I am in love with it. But there's a danger about creating things that you're not in love with. Out of a sense of need, because if you're not in love with it, you know, you kind of, this is such a dangerous place to fall out of love with your own work.
Yeah.
Especially as a entrepreneur, as a business owner, you know, because your energy is the fuel for the work. And if you've fallen out of love with it, it's not even going to get halfway down the track before it falls into a heap.
So true. And can I just touch on that as well? Because I feel like I've worked with quite a few mentees on that, you know, that sense of falling out of love with their business. I'm working with one mentee at the moment who's built a very successful business, but has just had so many challenges with it. And I just said, you know, the first step here is for you to fall back in love with this, because the business runs off your energy and your team. Everyone feels it. If we're not in love with it, everyone can feel it. And you don't want to sell it. You know, you don't want to be on Instagram story saying, hey, I'm doing this thing, because you're not in love with it.
And I think it's a really good point. That took me a while. You know, when I first decided to build an online program or build a program, publicly available program, was 2 years ago. And I can remember Josh like planning the whole thing out. And he was like, right, you've just got
to remember you guys doing it. Yeah.
This. And he was getting incredibly frustrated with me. And I was just like, I'm not in love. I will not fall out of love with my own work. I've spent 20 years of my life dedicated to this work. I will not fall out of my love with my own work, and I will not move forward until I can feel it, until I can feel the through line, until I can feel the current, the inner current associated with it.
Like the wave. Yeah.
Yeah. The lock.
You know what I just thought of as you're saying there? It's almost like when you're in a labor and you're waiting for the next contraction. It's like, no, I'll wait for the next contraction and then I'll push. You don't want to be pushing when you're not contracting. Yeah.
And so I think it's been incredibly frustrating. And for some of my advisors and mentors who are like, are we still here 2 years later? How are we still here? And it just has not locked for me. And I made myself one commitment, just one. And that is that I would stay curious for a year. That was my first commitment. I will stay curious about this for a year. I'll do everything else that I need to do, and I'll stay curious about this for a year, because there's a part of me that knows that this is the answer, and there's a way for me to do this where I love it. But I will not move until I do, and I will stay curious for a year. And so many times in that year, I would just burst into tears. I'd be like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do any of it. None of it. I love live. I don't know how I'm going to do this not live. I don't know how I'm going to do it without people. I love people. And I got to the end of the year and there was a fragment of curiosity. I'm like, okay, well, I'll stay curious. I'm going to stay curious for another year. I will commit to it. Learning. I bought education. I paid a lot of money on education. I joined mastermind group on the topic, even though I had no idea what they were talking about the majority of the time, and they will attest to that. I talked to people. I just stayed actively curious and hoped, trusted that something would lock with me, because I know, as I said, when I lock, I know I'm
good. It's on.
Yeah, it's on.
Yeah. It's almost like, the trick is to look for that lock, isn't it?
And then, and so it has now, luckily. But, you know, if it hadn't, I don't know, would I have stayed curious for longer? I don't know. I would have had to just feel into that.
That's really powerful, my love. Thank you. And so when you are ready to launch a new thing, can you come back and tell us about it?
Yes.
Can I have you back? That would be amazing.
I would love that. I would love that. And for you as well next week. Do I need to drop off more food? Is it like... No.
Dinner ladies have us sorted. I basically said to Wade, can you just pretend I'm not here for 10 days? And he's like... I think he thought literally, he's like, you're actually not going to be here. I'm like, no, just run the household as if I'm not here next week. But I actually don't think it's going to be that intense. And she says now, I feel like we're in a really good place. It feels good. And I'm excited. Wait. You know, I'm looking forward to it. I'm not like dreading doing webinars and dreading getting live. Like, I just want to, it's like when you have a new baby, you know, you just want to show it off to everyone. That's how I feel about this.
It's
and you
so
know what
exciting.
I love? And this is so vain. It looks awesome. Like, I got the perfect hero shot. The branding's beautiful. The logo's gorgeous. Like, I feel like I'm really proud of it aesthetically, which I know is very shallow, but I like things to look good.
No, see, I have to good. I have to leave the aesthetics until last because, again, to use a different version of the term, I will procrastinate.
Yes.
And so I literally have to put the branding side of it at the bottom and not allow myself to touch it until everything else is done, because otherwise I will just procrastinate forever.
Yeah, it's the fun bit. It's absolutely the fun bit. It's so good. My love, I'm conscious you need to go get babies.
I do. And
I need to do the same. I'm going to put on a big pot of brown rice. We're having a dinner, ladies, curry for dinner. And then Lexi's at gymnastics. So I'll go pick up Lexi from gymnastics. Thank you. This was fun. I think everyone's just got an insight into our chats, and this is basically what it's like to come have breakfast with us on a Friday morning. Thank you. You're amazing. And yeah, we'll hear back from you soon once you're ready to go with the influencer code. Yeah.
Done.
Much love. Thank you. I'll see you Friday.
See you Friday.
Bye. There you have her, my incredible business bestie, Jules. I really hope you enjoyed our conversation. To find out more about Jules, you can go to her website, juliemasters.com. Her Instagram is at Jules, JULES.masters. And her podcast, which is incredible, is called Inside Influence. So next week, I'll be telling you about my new thing. And until then, have a wonderful week and can't wait to chat again next week. Thank you for being part of this week's episode. It was remarkable to have you. I am always keen to hear your thoughts, questions, ideas, and suggestions for future topics for the podcast. So please get in touch on Instagram. My handle is at Lorraine Remarks, and through my website, lorrainemurphy.com.au. If you're enjoying what I'm putting out here, please do rate, review, or subscribe to the podcast so more people can find out about it and we can build this special community. Or even better, do all three. Chat to you next week.